Hello and welcome. I am Dr. Lara May, a clinical pharmacist specializing in functional medicine, as well as a certified yoga teacher and Reiki master. I run a truly integrative health coaching practice, encompassing functional medicine lab testing, yoga and meditation, and a sprinkling of Reiki energy medicine. Join me here on Light Body Radio to break through your health plateau and come into alignment with your natural vitality. Hello and welcome to Light Body Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Lara May. And today I have with me Alexander Jenno. How do you pronounce your last name?
Joanna.
Joanna, sorry.
Yes.
Thank you. So we're going to be talking about depression and sort of, you know, blowing back the curtain on depression, which I think is really going to be helpful and valuable today. So you have been training medical students and international medical graduates and general practice physicians for more than 20 years. And along the way, you've learned about the human psyche, and you yourself have a 40-year medical career practice. So tell us about that and your story and how depression sort of came to be your wheelhouse.
It's a long story, but I'll try and be brief. I was a regular trained GP, a general practitioner, family physician, and was practicing for about 15 years when I developed Crohn's disease, which is, I don't know if you, well, your listeners are aware, but it's a severe chronic bowel problem. I was unaware of it because I was so focused on being a doctor and working ridiculous hours. Mm-hmm. And I just thought I needed a good holiday. But I needed surgery and had 2 feet of intestine cut out. And and afterwards, you know, I lost 20 kilos in the process as well. At the end, I said, to the surgeon, he says, "You're cured." And I said, "Should I follow any particular diet?" I just got to close this door. Then I said, "Should I follow any particular diet?" And he says, "Oh no, eat whatever you like. You're cured." Mm. So I did, and within 6 weeks, I started getting symptoms again. And then later, I had to go on to steroids and was threatened with further surgery, and I thought, mm-hmm. I can't have this. It's no good. So, you know, I realized really that Western medicine didn't have any answers for me. So that's when I started looking further afield. And initially, a friend of mine who's trained in functional medicine said, "Why don't you go on a nut-free, dairy-free, meat-free, everything-free diet, sugar-free diet?"
Mm-hmm.
And I did. It was pretty bland, I tell you. But the thing was, I started feeling a whole lot better and started putting on weight and feeling healthier and more energetic. So that sort of began my journey and ended up getting interested in Chinese medicine because of the fact that the Chinese had worked out that the body, the functions between various organs in the body, to them was more important than pathology from the process of diagnosing what's wrong with the tissue, since they didn't have microscopes or whatever 2,000 years ago. I realized that the whole concept was the basis of yin and yang, which was the sort of autonomic nervous system control of all the internal organs. And it made a whole lot of sense and gave me a lot of answers that I hadn't seen from a Western approach. And that got me interested in acupuncture. And I was doing that for 10 years. And then I came across a method which worked on raising people's levels of consciousness. And through linking acupuncture, which is a traditional Chinese approach, with the chakras, which is the Hindu view of the body. and realizing that, okay, well, chakras are actually acupuncture points, and therefore you can use acupuncture to manipulate chakra energy. So, and that was fine, and I started getting really even better results than I had before. And I was basing my treatments for a whole variety of conditions, but particularly chronic pain. And I had a patient who had widespread arthritis, and her GP had put her on to opioids to deaden the pain. And she didn't like that idea. So I said, well, why don't you try this acupuncture and see how you go? And after three or four treatments, you know, once a week over 3 or 4 weeks, she was able to stop the painkillers. And that was back in 2011, and she hasn't been on painkillers since. And needed any acupuncture either. But the thing, after a couple of months of treating her, she said, can I stop my antidepressants? She said, I don't feel depressed anymore. And I checked back through the notes, and because she'd been seeing another doctor in the practice, and I thought, well, maybe she doesn't need antidepressants anyway. And, you know, patients just keep coming back and getting repeat scripts without reviewing the situation. But her GP the year before had tried getting her off antidepressants and had only even just reduced the dose a bit. And within 2 months, she became depressed again and had to go back up to the full dose. So, but I scored her on a DAS, which is a depression, anxiety, stress scale. She rated as being not depressed. So I weaned her off the medications, and lo and behold, the depression hasn't come back. And that was, as I say, 12 years ago. And in fact, it was around Christmas time when I got her off the antidepressants. And she told me one day that some Christmas carolers came to her door and started singing Christmas carols. And she was so moved by it, she started bursting into tears and crying. But it was tears of joy and happiness. And she said she hadn't had that feeling for many, many years. She couldn't remember how long it had been since she had felt that happy and blessed. So, you know, so I realized onto something there. And the urging of my wife, who's also a doctor, said, why don't you study this? So I followed 5 patients with depression over the next 12 months, and all 5 of them got better, and to the point where they didn't need acupuncture or medications. And following them up a year later, they were still all fine. So I've been focused on this ever since.
That's amazing. Yeah. So I want to jump right into how acupuncture is different than medication when it comes to the approach of depression.
Well, I think the basic thing is the drug therapy tends to suppress emotions, dampen it down. So if you're feeling sad and really lonely and hopeless, suppressing that feeling is a good thing. You have to feel less depressed and less sad and so on. But the thing is, it also tends to dampen down the happiness and joy feelings. People just are so-so. And whereas the acupuncture, the emphasis is on actually releasing energy. That's because in the Chinese, they talk about the emotions are related to the different organs, and the emotions get stuck in the channels. And which sounds crazy from a Western viewpoint, but sometimes it can be very powerful when you insert a needle into one particular point and the patient bursts into tears. And often they don't even know what they're crying about. It's not that the needle hurts, it's just a release of emotion. And anger is another one. People often release these things. And but then after that, the person can express the full range of emotions again. And I think that's half the thing is to release getting stuck. And often people, you know, the whole of depression is often about being stuck. People describe themselves as being stuck physically and or mentally.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting too, because I mean, we're conditioned, I think, to like not process our feelings and our experiences. And so we just shove it in our body, and that's where it gets stuck, is in our body. But we don't realize that, because that's not, in the Western world, how, like you said, how we're trained to think about it instead of it all being energy flow and our bodies having channels of energy flow. And when we shove that stuff in there, that's the blockages.
And from the Western viewpoint, the chakras relate to various hormones, you know, to various endocrine glands that secrete hormones, as well as to nerve plexuses, nerve centers through the body. And, you know, in its with the acupuncture, it's bringing these things back into some kind of balance.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned, too, that you realized that the chakras were also acupressure, acupuncture points.
Yeah.
And so how does that then factor in to releasing the depression or like realigning or unblocking the flow?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. With the chakras, the psychologist Abraham Maslow in the 1960s, American psychologist, made a link between, talked about a pyramid of people's needs, that first they have to satisfy their physiological needs of survival, of being able to breathe and being able to eat and so forth, through higher centers to finally get up to a point of self-awareness and transcendence. So these correspond, and he recognized they corresponded to the chakras, where they talk about the root chakra at the base of the spine being related to feeling grounded and secure, and a sense of belonging to a tribe, through sexual energy and reproduction, through to the solar plexus relating to personal power and self-esteem, to the heart to do with expressing unconditional love, the throat being able to voice your opinions and so forth, and then through to the third eye and the crown relating to taking a bigger view of the world and your part place in the world. Mm-hmm. So there's that correlation. And I developed a questionnaire to ask my patients each time they come in. Basically, it's 49 questions relating to the chakras and how they score, answer the questions. I correlate as to which chakras are involved, and then base my treatments on that. And it seems to work.
That's fascinating. Yeah. So how do people come to you specifically? Like, are you known now for like the guy that can help you?
I'm getting
get rid of your meds for depression.
Well, certainly, because I live in a town called Coffs Harbour, which is about 80,000 people, and I have a number of GPs referring their patients to me.
Oh, great.
For treatments. But as of last year, I've started to I've been training other acupuncturists in this method. Initially through, before COVID, through live workshops in Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane, but since I've started taking it online, so I'm training acupuncturists around the world in this method.
Because
I'm so passionate about it and just really want to get that message out there, because there's, supposed to be 280 million people around the world with depression. That's an unbelievable number of people.
Yeah, I mean it's sad and unfortunate, especially living in the world that we live in now, where in theory we could all be so connected, but so many of us are feeling more and more disconnected. And then you have an approach that almost takes all the emotion out of it. I mean, it is helpful to look at it from a biological perspective and all the neurotransmitters and that, all that good stuff. But then at the same time, to only look at that aspect, I feel like is doing a huge disservice. And so, like as a functional medicine practitioner, like I can do, look at your neurotransmitters and then like approach it from a food and lifestyle perspective. But I love too that like I could collaborate with practitioners like you, and then I could also like send my clients to you and say, okay, we've done this piece of the work. Now the next level is this piece,
It could all. Yeah, that's exactly right. Because there's no one single thing that can do it all. And acupuncture is really good in that. I see people who are just tired of seeing psychologists and talking all day about their problems, and they just want to leave that behind, the past in the past, and move forward. And acupuncture, they don't have to talk to me about anything. They just lie there and take the needles, and the needles do the job. It brings up memories or shifts emotions, and just people report that they generally feel happier and happier over the coming weeks. So support by, if you don't change your lifestyle at all, I think inevitably you would tend to go back to the way you were. So changing diet, changing lifestyle habits and so forth is all critical.
Yeah. And, depression is interesting too, I think, because when you're in the midst of it, your motivation is either non-existent or really low. So I think you sometimes get yourselves in these cycles of not like knowing that you should make different choices for yourself, but just literally like not having it in you to do it. And so, what is your, do you see like a typical time frame when you work with clients in terms of improvement, or is it truly like unique to every single person?
I know that you see general patterns, and most people feel dramatically better after 8 weeks, with weekly treatments. And often from the very first treatment, people can get off the bed and feel a sense of energy or a calmness and so forth that can, as I say, kick in straight away. As a test, recently I went to Canada and I thought, well, I hadn't treated any Canadians before. Let's see what I can do. And I was there for a short time. So there was a friend of a friend who was depressed for 18 years and on medications all that time and still feeling pretty lousy. And he rated as being moderately depressed and severely anxious. And I gave him 7 treatments in 7 days. And at the end of the 7 days, he was no longer depressed, which sounds phenomenal. Yeah, the scores had come right down to his score for depression out of 21 had gone from 11 down to 0. And, given that if nothing else changed in his life, I would imagine he would fall back to the same pattern.
Right.
So, it can happen that fast.
Cool. That is so cool. Let's see. What do I want to ask you now? So you're mainly based out of Australia. So, but you train other practitioners. Is there like a database where?
My website, stickittodepression.com.
Okay, cool.
If you go there, there's a list of certified practitioners and then. The numbers are growing all the time.
Okay.
I mean, if one of your listeners has an acupuncturist who's interested in learning more, just direct them to my website and I can get into training them. Because I've run enough workshops now to sort of see that instantly people can get results. So the workshops I do run over usually 2.5 days. And even in that time frame, the acupuncturists end up fired up and full of energy by the end of 2.5 days. Instead of feeling exhausted and wiped out, they're actually all energized and really bouncing with ideas. A lot of them will, go to their clinic and put it into practice literally the next day and instantly start getting results with their patients. It's quite phenomenal. It's what keeps me driving me to get the message out.
Awesome. So we didn't really talk about this. I know I'm kind of going out of the order of the flow, but I am curious because you have brought up like how you evaluate your patients on the front end. So how is that different than how Western medicine, or is that similar?
Yeah. Well, similar and different. Apart from person sitting down and talking about their issues, depression, anxiety, stress score, or the DAS score, which is actually invented by psychologists at the University of New South Wales, in Australia, but is now used throughout the world, is a simple questionnaire that people answer, and 21 questions, and it's fairly accurate at rating the severity of depression and anxiety and stress. It doesn't really make the diagnosis. It still takes a conversation with a doctor, usually, or a psychologist, to sit down mm-hmm. and analyze the situation. But it's very good at correlating what's going on. So I still do that as part of what I do as a doctor. Mm-hmm. But then I use mind-body spirit questionnaire to really assess what are the main issues for the patient, whether it's root chakra issues of security, safety, survival, or is it being unable to speak because they were, suppressed saying what they really think, mm-hmm. which is often the case, or a feeling of a lack of joy in their life from coming from the heart, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So that guides me as to how to treat them, and mm-hmm. and patients, when that gets, they're filling out the questionnaire each week, they perceive themselves, oh, I've changed my mind in this situation, I think differently about things now.
Yeah. Well, cool. Mm. I'm so happy to have had you on the show today. I think this is going to help a lot of people. Everybody definitely check out the website, stickittodepression.com. And if you're a practitioner and this has sparked your interest and you want to take your practice to a new level, then I would say go for it. If I was an acupuncturist, I would go for it at this moment. anything else that you want to bring forward that I haven't asked before we finish up?
No, it's just that, any of your listeners now who are depressed should make the effort of getting out of bed and going for a walk, just as an initial step. Literally is an initial step in mm-hmm. in movement. It's got to be starting to move forward and taking that opportunity while you're walking to appreciate the things that you do have in your life and that you can be grateful for. Yeah. That just starts shifting your thought patterns, because often the thinking is just really gloomy and like a black dog, as Winston Churchill said, hanging over, following you around everywhere. So yeah, just even that alone can start to make a difference. And then reading widely and then exploring ideas like looking at the diet and getting some acupuncture.
Yeah, so true, so true. Yes, even if it doesn't feel like you want to get up and get outside and get some sunshine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a silly thing, because when people are in bed, they think, there's all the excuses in the world not to do it. But when people have gone out and gone for the walk, they never say, oh, gee, I wish I'd stayed in bed.
Right, yeah.
They always come back thinking, like, better for it.
Yes. Well, thank you, Dr. Alex, for being here today. I really appreciate your insight and your wisdom and all the research and all the training that you are doing out there. It's amazing. Keep up the amazing work. And again, everybody, go over to stickittodepression.com and take that step for yourself or for someone you love. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Laura.